701, and thank you all for joining. I hope everybody had good holidays. I haven't seen anybody. It seems like forever. One of the changes I wanted to make for tonight's meeting, I don't think it's a big deal, but I wanted to do public, I wanted to do the goose person first, and then, no, I wanted to do public comment first, then the goose person. Right, Evelyn? Can you unmute Evelyn?
She's unmuted.
I am. Yeah.
What did we decide? We wanted to do public comment first? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so that's just the only change. So why don't we start with a roll call. And as Kathy does the roll call, would you just state your position with the board, since we have a few people that are not board members, just so they can know what your role in board is, please?
Cindy Bancamano.
President here.
Angela Bucari.
I'm here, and I am the member at large.
Hema De Silva.
I'm here. I'm a board member.
Dave Edgington.
I'm here. I'm second beach rep.
Jason Griffin.
I'm here, second beach rep, I think.
Corinne Holliday.
Vice president and third beach rep here.
Evelyn Passan. Payson, sorry.
Hello. First beach rep.
Jerry Peterson.
I'm here. I'm the properties manager.
And Kathy Sabo is here, first beach rep. I see we also have present Felicia Tenza. She's on the phone. She's muted. She's just an association member. We have Lee Griffin present, treasurer. We have Ed Bader present, tax collector. I see we have Tim Pelton present. He is public, right? And then we have Anthony Silvestri for public comment. Yes, and Eric Gregan, public comment. And that's all I see present here.
Thank you, Kathy. First order, just a couple housekeeping things. Could we have a motion to accept the minute from our November board meeting?
So moved.
Can we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, raise your hand. Opposed?
Aye.
No, any abstentions? Okay. So, motion, minutes accepted.
Yeah, all in favor, none opposed, no abstentions. And now, what about the, can we do another motion to, we have to accept the executive session minutes as well, even though there's really nothing in there that anybody could really read. I sent them all to you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct? Right,
motion to accept.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Corinne? So, minutes are accepted. This is hard without being able to see everybody.
Yeah.
Are you all set, Kathy?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. So, we're gonna do public comment now. Actually, can someone make a motion to suspend our routine order of business? Because I think with the public comment and with the goose mitigation woman, I think it's going to take a bit of time. So would that be fair?
I make a motion to normal order of business so we can do public comment first.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor? Anybody opposed?
Everyone's in favor.
Everyone's in favor. Okay. Okay. So I can't see you, but I'd like you to welcome two people for public comment. We have Eric Gregan, who is the current owner of the property at the north end of the lake. And we also have Tony Silvestri, who is the prospective purchaser of said property. They asked if they could join us tonight just to give us a heads up on what their plans and intentions are, and I thought that would be a good idea. Remember that public comment is just that. We're not going to discuss, we're not going to question, we're not going to comment. We're just going to listen to public comment, okay? All right, so Tony or Eric, I don't know who wants to go first, but please go ahead.
Eric.
You're up, Eric.
We can't hear you, Eric. No, we can't hear you.
I lost you for a second. I hope it's okay now. I don't know what that was all about, but now?
There you go.
Good. Sorry about that little computer glitch, apparently. Thank you, Cindy, for introducing me. Yes, I am, actually, me and my brother, Chris Gregan, one of the owners of the property on Lakeshore and East Shore, the corner. And I know we have, I mean, Frank is short because I know Cindy mentioned 3 minutes, so we're going to definitely respect her time as far as that's concerned. Little bit of just history about the acreage. I didn't even realize this, but our family's been there for ever, pretty much. We actually purchased the land. Title came from the Haywards themselves, which was interesting for me. I didn't realize that, but I knew we were there for a while, but didn't know it spanned that long back. The whole acreage is on one deed. And the history of it is, yeah, we're trying to start what we've had a listed since actually 11/14 of 2019. And it just went under deposit on 10/23. And then we got a letter just stating that it was rezoned or the map was, you know, looked at again. And it's stating that parcel 143 was taken out, I guess, 5 years ago. And now they're taking out 142 now. And could have been my mistake. I don't remember ever getting 1 5 years ago. But I'm pretty sure I would have probably called or asked somebody, you know, like, hey, what's this all about? But I don't remember that. And then the question pretty much, you know, came to us, you know, how did it kind of happen? Because it's under one deed, but they're saying that it's each one was taken away at different times. So that was kind of confusing. And then we also did a little more research as to, because part of the map was concerned, we didn't know what was included, what wasn't included. And then there were some pieces that came up that were almost very close to parcel 143, I believe. But I guess it's on East Shore Drive, houses 144, 147, 148, and 149 are on the same side of the road. So we're just trying to, maybe it's a mistake, I don't know, but we're just trying to figure out how it happened. We were, you know, in the association for decades probably. And then all of a sudden I get a letter 7 days after going on a deposit that we're not in the association hall anymore. So I know Tony's here as well, and he's got a couple of different ideas, and he wants to also, like I talked to Cindy, kind of want to give you a little bit of the description of what he's doing as far as his plans for the lot. So that's it for me. Thank you for your time, and I know Tony wants to discuss as well.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay, am I up?
Yes, Tony, go ahead.
Okay. So I've been at this for about 45 years. People, you know, I tell people I don't know much, but I know dirt. I've been building and developing for that long. As you know, this parcel is about 50 acres. Under a normal subdivision, a straight subdivision, you can build, you know, an average of 1 acre, you know, per lot. Our intentions are to do far less than that. What we plan on doing is what they call a conservation subdivision, which basically sets aside a lot of open space, especially I've had a lot of meetings with Jim from the town, and the area around the bog, I know, is a major concern of everyone, and, you know, we want to be, you know, very conscious of that and, you know, be good neighbors, so to speak. We would welcome the association to be part of our plan and our final design. So, you know, we want to be totally open, you know, totally upfront as far as, you know, what the plans are. So, you know, looking forward to working with you guys as far as that goes. One thing, you know, I just want to let you know that we feel that we could be an asset to the association in the sense of, you know, again, I've been at this for 40 some odd years. I'm licensed for everything underground. I own my own excavation equipment and really enjoy that, my therapy. So, again, you know, if there's something that you guys are looking to do that we can work together to benefit, you know, all of us, I'd be totally, totally open to that. And, you know, one of the most important things I want to bring up is I make my own wine. And you just don't want to miss out on the wine at these association gatherings, you know. That being said, I would like someone, if they could please reach out to me as far as who the contact person would be moving forward, so then we can, you know, keep everything totally above board and try our best to work together.
Who wouldn't our contact person be, Cindy? Right?
Yeah, so you can just continue to contact me.
Okay. And lastly, you know, we would just like, you know, basically to be totally upfront, your association's position as far as the lake rights go and everything. Like Eric said, we did a lot of research, and based on, you know, what we found, we were hard-pressed to find a lot that didn't have lake rights. And, you know, this property having the history that it has, we would like to know basically right up front where we stand and, you know, how we move forward. Okay?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. We'll discuss that at the board and get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Evelyn, would you like to introduce your speaker?
Yeah, let me tell her to call.
Okay. So, while Evelyn's doing that, this is just random, but Adam did text me today about having a wedding. Did he text everybody or just me?
I didn't get it.
So July 31st, he's getting married at the Pavilion. We don't have to discuss this now. Just put it in your mind. He wants to have a band, and any of us would be invited. So he just sent that to me this evening. So put that in your mind. We can talk about it a little later. And did you call her, Evelyn?
Yeah. She's trying to come in, I think.
Okay. Can I just comment on that right away, Cindy, not knowing what's going to be going on in July as far as the pandemic is concerned? I just would hate for him to plan anything, and then we still have to kind of abide by, you know, whatever the state and the town is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But congratulations to him.
Yeah, I told him that.
It's going to be an all-day event.
I'm sure it will be.
I'm glad with any facility, if, you know, you make plans and then the state rules something else, they cancel, you know.
Yeah, they know. They're aware.
And you all got the email from the gentleman who had the fire on Wildwood, right?
Oh, I see that.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm glad you said that, because we got a ton of emails from people wanting to donate and all that sort of stuff. I think I forwarded a lot of them to you.
No.
There's like 30 people that responded to the post on the website or on the email blast saying, oh, where do we donate? Start a GoFundMe, but it's turning out a little more complicated. I don't know if we should respond to them somehow or with what.
Well, it's funny because I've been saying, I can't believe that only two people from the whole association got, you know, responded to me. I didn't realize you got 30 people. I never got those. So I just let it go because there was no interest. I didn't realize that. So we'll have to decide on that, too.
Yeah, somebody just came on, but
Hi, did you able to get on? I think your mic is muted.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Okay. I'm sorry, I thought it would take longer for public comments.
No, I told them they could only have 3 minutes each.
Aren't
you? Now I didn't realize that property guys were going to go first either.
Evelyn, you could sing. You're the only one with a beautiful voice here, I think.
Yeah, my husband said the same thing. I'm not doing that. I miss karaoke.
I miss everything.
I know.
Me too.
So the only other thing is I've been talking to the woman who's trying to find a swim instructor, so she's still working on that.
And there she is. Okay. That's not Meg Farm. But she's still muted.
There she is.
Annette, can you hear us?
Yep, I think so.
Can't see you, though. That's okay.
All right, wait a minute. Let's see if I can unmute that.
Can you see us? I mean, now the camera's on.
Yeah, I can see you. Can you see me?
No.
Not yet.
There you go.
Okay.
Hi.
Good evening.
This is Lynette Novo from Nutmeg Farm, Goose Management. Because Santos, lots of info, and I know you guys have some questions. Do you want her to start on brief description of what she would do?
Yes.
If we go with a pilot program? Okay, Lynette.
Okay, well, it really depends on when you want to start. Generally, we start in February and start looking for pairing up, looking for, you know, they're pairing up at that time. They're thinking about, is this a great place to have a nest and raise a family? Did it work last year or not? And I'm not sure exactly what your group is doing there, your flock is doing, because I haven't been there in the winter to see it. I'm kind of relying on what you have seen from there. Have you seen nests?
It was that we had 100 geese on the beach the other day.
Say that again?
Somebody said there was 100 of them down on First Beach a couple weeks ago. I have not seen them.
I have.
I've seen them on the beach, and they're all called in the field behind my house a lot.
Okay.
Have you seen any nests near the beach or along the shoreline anywhere on the lake?
I'm not sure any of them go near the shore this time of year.
Well, it wouldn't be like till February, end of February, beginning of March, depending on, you know, what the weather is doing. If we have a blizzard or something like that, it'll be a little bit later.
Lynette, this is a little weird situation. I think, one, they may be nesting on the opposite side of the lake, which isn't our responsibility.
And okay.
Jeffrey just said, there is a big farm about a quarter mile away from us that also has a pond, and they seem to fly back and forth between both, so they may be nesting up there and then flying down here, although we do see them with their ducks. They're goslings down here, so there must be nests on our lake somewhere.
Or it could be that they've taken a short walk down. I've seen them walk a quarter to a half a mile with their babies, nest somewhere else, and then take them to the preferred swimming hole. So that's a possibility as well. So generally, that's when we would start. We would start looking in February, looking for nests, trying to find out what's going on. And then if that's what they're starting to do, that's when you really want to say, put pressure on them and say, you really don't want to live here. So the more pressure you can put on February, March, the better it's going to be June, July, August. Because if we put enough pressure on them and they said, no, this is not a good place, then you're not going to have as many there. If you wait until April, May, June, then, you know, they've already established there and it's a little bit harder to get rid of them. And then you're looking at July, August, where they're going to molt, and you can't touch them when they have babies or when they can't fly. And that's for about an 8-week period. That's for federal law. That's the Migratory Bird Act.
So what do you mean by can't touch them? You can't, like,
well, legally,
take your
you can't
dog
touch
on?
Them at all.
Right.
Physically touch them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't chase them then, or chase them with a dog or anything else, because it's not fair, because the adults can't fly away. And then the babies can't fly at the same time.
So when is that? July and August?
July and August, yes. You'll start, like, you probably saw some feathers around, and that's kind of when they're molting. You can do things that are very gentle, like just making your presence known will make them move off and swim off and things like that, but you won't be able to get rid of them at that time. And then end of August, beginning of September, the feathers are back in, you're back into full force again to start hazing them.
Larry, if with all the, this is Hema, one of the board members, with all the birds that are around the lake and lake at the farm itself, and also on East Shore Drive, what difference would it make if we did something on
that
other property?
Help you with
path people here. If they're on the east side and there's nothing we can do about that, those properties, they're not ours, and there's a lot of birds on the farm with this lake, which we can't tell the people and chase them away from there. So they are going to come back again and again. So this is sort of a never ending project.
Yep.
And realistically, they're looking for this lake.
Something. Yeah. Well, I can still hear you. Okay. You hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
I couldn't hear her at all, but that's okay.
Did you have an answer for that, or did you understand what he said?
No, I didn't hear anything.
He was basically saying that...
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you, but we couldn't hear you
yes,
for a while.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, he was saying that the lake has teeth on both sides of it. One side we don't really have control over. It's not our property. Then there's also the farm. If we're just taking care of geese on our section of the property, how does this not become a, or how do we stop the issue? Because the farm and the other side of the lake need to also be considered into this. or does it need to be considered into it? Or
yeah. It's always easier when everyone's on board. You know, when your local farm doesn't want them there, when your neighbors don't want them there. But it's more often than not the way it is where there's just one section, one house, one apartment building, one corporate center, part of it has a pond, and you can only do the amount that you can do, that you're allowed to go there, you know, by the owner. So it makes it harder, but it doesn't mean that we can't encourage them to not be in that area. Like there's a pond in Farmington that is the corporate area. Half of it's owned by one company, half of it's owned by the other. I work for one side. I don't work for the other side. The other side has got lots of goose poop and geese there all year long. The other side does not. So you have to balance that. If you can get your neighbors to work with you, then great. It makes it a lot easier for everybody, and it works much better.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, great.
While kayaking, I have seen one family near the clubhouse feeding the ducks, and the geese are just laying around until the ducks move out, and they're being fed as well. Not that she's necessarily feeding them, but whatever she puts in for the ducks, will also be left behind by the ducks, and then the geese come in. So it's sort of like, some participating in keeping them around, not necessarily by our acts, but by our trying to be good for other people around there. So, like the ducks, they wanted to keep fed. So, I'm thinking generally about four families at the south end of the lake, and that has been sort of a consistent pattern. Yes, they come onto the land and we chase them away. And they go away at the time. Some of them come back. So we kind of look after each other, the neighbors, and try to keep them away from our properties. But I'm not sure if there's so many birds. I haven't seen, to be honest. I've done one time I saw a lot of birds, but most of the time I see the few that we see, the four or five families. And they, of course, keep doing it, so there are a larger number of birds. And even if you cut it out, the four or five families, then what's there to prevent from the farm more birds to come into that area, because now it's another feeding ground for them.
Emma, I think that's another question that we're all asking. Corinne has a question. Go ahead, Corinne.
Well, I apologize for not having it in front of us, because I know Evelyn gave us the proposal that you did last year. We kind of start with that because there's certain things we could do, and one of which would be to start with addling eggs, and then the proposal talks about the dogs and this and that and the added cost to everything. It's not a small number, and I think the rest of the board would agree that we don't want to do anything that would just help our side of the lake. This is a very small lake, a very unified lake. People from both sides of the lake are helping to solve a lot of issues around the lake. So we're not looking just to solve, I think, our side of the lake's problems. Mm-hmm. Having said that, if we just wanted to start with a program that just dealt with addling eggs for a year or two, would that not helpful rather than going full bore into the dogs and everything else that may be a limited amount of work, a limited amount of elimination of geese?
Okay. Well, the first thing you can do that's free is to get them to stop feeding the geese and the ducks.
That's a limited amount. I mean, I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, I don't think that's a big activity that's going on. I mean,
how about the addling of the eggs? The addling of eggs, I mean, it's birth control is basically what we're talking about. That's
Right.
One pair of geese in 5 years can give you 100, 150 geese.
Right.
So if there's geese on the property that we can, you know, addle the eggs, remove the eggs, take care of the nest, that's going to help future generations, but it's not going to stop the adults that are already there.
There's nothing that makes them leave because obviously they're not being fruitful and multiplying. Because I thought a few weeks back we had some nest adults, and I felt like I noticed a diminished population, but no?
There was a difference. Probably not. Wherever a gosling learns to fly, so whatever that location is where they learn to fly, it's like a homing device, and they will come back year after year after year. And some geese we've seen have lived 20 years. You can have them return for stuff, you know, for decades. They don't necessarily start laying eggs and mating until they're a couple years old.
Can you refresh my memory, or Evelyn, could somebody as to what the price tag was and what you think we were going to have dogs come and that kind of thing? I'm trying to remember the numbers.
And the number that we have in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
The number that we need to do it the whole season,
we would need to get approval by the board, by the association.
No, I know. I do.
I think it was like 15.
It was 16.
And how many years did you have to invest that in? I mean, obviously you wouldn't just do it 1 year. We were talking about multiple years that you would have to do that.
It's an ongoing process. It would be an ongoing process because let's say you have that 100 flock of geese that's there now. We encourage them to leave. Let's say it takes a couple of years for them to stop thinking about breeding season, and you're not going to know if you're successful until that following spring when they come back and start laying eggs again, so whether or not they're thinking about that. But in the meantime, just like this past week, we were in at ESPN, and they just had a new flock of over 100 geese come in this week. That's not their normal group. So as soon as, you know, a flock flies in or is in the area and says, hey, this place looks like a great place, and you have a body of water. So anywhere where there's a body of water, anywhere during the winter where the ice is open, is going to attract birds. So it's something that we might get rid of that group, but a new group may come in. It's one of those things that is the possibility of it happening is ongoing. But if you're successful in the spring in discouraging the group that is there, then they're going to, and they take off, then that group won't be there. You might have another group come in over the winter or in the fall, but you just have to keep working with it. I mean, there's nothing out there, even if you had all of the geese removed from the property. Let's say they were all trapped and taken away. That's a new place for another group to come into. So with wildlife, there's always going to be an issue because we're living in their territory.
And part of the leaves aren't freezing over every winter like they used to, obviously, right? Is that adding to the problem?
Yes. Yeah, because if there's an open, it's just like, you know, if you watch duck hunters or geese hunters, geese are always flying over, ducks are always flying over looking for open water so that they can land, they can breed, they need water to breed.
Would it be a bad investment if we hired a company just to addle eggs and then we tried to handle the rest with dogs, or is that not money well spent?
If we do both. I mean, we do all of that. We do the addling, we do the dogs, we use
remote control boats, you use lasers, you use different things to haze them with. There are a lot of different techniques that you use, and you can't just use one technique. You have to use multiple techniques, because it's like, say if you bought one of those silhouettes that's of a coyote, that's those black coyotes you can get, or like, you know, you stick them out there, and if you don't move them all the time, they're going to start saying, oh, well, that's no threat. I think we'll just go, you know, sit underneath that coyote silhouette. I mean, that's why you see houses in the wildlife control. If we see somebody that's got one of those plastic owls on their house, we know it doesn't work. We contact them because we know that there's an issue there, and the owl isn't going to work. It's the same thing with a lot of the other techniques. It takes time, but over time, we will, you know, we're happy when we can get them down to, you know, remove 80 to 90%. That's a good day in goose work.
So, the last thing that we got from Lynette was a pilot program.
So nothing's 100%.
So that we can at least get started this year and not wait for the association meeting in June. You know, so that we can get started this year. So she would start in March.
And what would that entail, Evelyn?
Right down to the suggested schedule of March, April, and May. She'd come 14 times a week in March. 56 visits in April, 56 visits in May. What else would you do on that? You would have to come out and start addling the eggs?
We would come out, and that's something that the people, the addling of the eggs, if people are there and they're taking their kayaks out or they're walking along the property and they notice the nest, that can save us a lot of time and energy to go take care of that nest. That's one thing you can do that's going to save you money, is go out and police the area looking for the nest.
I've never seen a nest.
Up in North End.
Yeah.
We get them by boat, pretty much.
Yeah, we have, you know, busted by boat. And I can teach people what to look for. I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, a little flat area in the ground, and sometimes they build really elaborate nests. It all depends on what they've got for stuff around them. And sometimes it's like, if it's in a pea stone, it's just enough for their body to be in it. You see that a lot.
Would
we be paying you to addle nests, or now I'm getting...
Yes.
So I have a quick question. When you first started speaking, you said that the best time to start is in February, but then the pilot, when Evelyn was just reading off the pilot, it mentioned starting in March. So I guess, are we proposing to start in March because that will give us April, May, June, and then we have the board meeting in June, or does it make more sense if we want to be more successful that we look at starting in February?
It really depends. We start looking, like we have our clients saying, okay, we're starting to see them pair up. They come into the area. Sometimes they're here the last 2 weeks of February. Sometimes they're not here until March. Sometimes it's the second week in March. It really just depends on the weather. They need 30-degree water temperature in order to breed.
And how long once they lay the eggs do they hatch? Like, what's your addling time frame?
It takes about 30 days.
So you can addle any time in between there?
Yes. Well, legally, we like to get them in that first week. And we can do a water test where you float the egg in the water. And that gives us an idea how... Oops, okay, go ahead. If we get it early enough,
that's when we like it, within the first week. And then after, what we do is that we take the egg, we date the egg, we slowly remove them from the nest, because if you destroy the nest or you take all the eggs out in the beginning, they're smart enough to say, you know what, I think we're going to move our nest, and then you won't find the next nest until the babies hatch. So we like to leave the nest, we remove them, we take wooden eggs, and we put them in there as replacements, so that they still think they're sitting on their fertile egg. The reality is they're sitting on wooden eggs.
Okay.
Okay. When you talk about site visits, what are we talking about? Where would you be going? Are you talking about going with dogs? Yes, we always have dog with us. It could be a dog. It could be any of the other hazing techniques that we use.
And what are the sites that have been picked? I don't know if that's Evelyn knows or you.
We were just going to start with First Beach area and do a pilot program and see how, if we successfully we can do with that, and then hopefully branch out.
What would this cost?
This would be under $5,000, trying to keep it under the $5,000.
Again, I'm sorry, I sound like I don't have a real feeling about this either way, so don't misinterpret my questions, but what would that do for the rest of the lake if we just start at one beach as far as them just going somewhere else? And trust me, I live in an area where they're down by me all the time, so I'm not a fan of them. But what would that do as far as the other two beaches are concerned if we're going to spend money just at one section?
They will probably move to another area of the lake. But they may think the first beach is a hot zone and they're not going to be in that area. They'll move down, like, say, to second beach or the third beach down, that's the very end, I believe. They'll keep moving and they'll say, well, you know, this is a hot area. You don't want to play in this area. You will see us in this area. But the best thing is to be able to go to all of the beaches, all of the lakes, to get them out of there completely. Like, we have that one place in Farmington where half of the lake is taken care of and they don't show up on the grass in that corporate area, but they're all over the grass and making a mess on the other side of the lake. But they don't show up on the side that I'm working. If you have a scenario similar to that.
So I guess I have a question, and I don't know if this doesn't make sense, but if it's just going to move them from first beach to second beach, if they make first beach the hot zone, is there a second option in terms of a pilot plan where maybe instead of it being as long in terms of 3 months, maybe we increase the areas that we're checking and maybe not as long and maybe just focusing on the adulting, like you said, those first few weeks when it's really important. And I really liked what you shared about kind of informing people of what to look for, because I do think while there are some people who would never participate in this, I do think we have other members of the community that would be very active in trying to be a part of the solution. So is there an alternate plan to maybe have it be shorter in duration but a bigger area that would yield any kind of success rather than just having them move from first and then having more at second and third beach? Because I think when we think about our membership, I don't know.
I mean, I can adjust when we come and for how long to whatever you feel works for you.
So I guess I've been just thinking about, you know, we have this, you know, we only have a certain amount of money until we are able to get the entire membership together to vote. So if we're trying to stick within that budget, I don't want to throw away money, so if that wouldn't work at all, then yes, you start with one area. But I guess trying to think about the other beaches on the lake and the other, you know, all of the members are putting into this pot of money. Is there another way to strategically, again, maybe shorten the duration, but spread out the area that would yield success, or do you think if we tried to do something like that, it would just be throwing money away because it wouldn't be long enough that it would have an impact?
That's the reason I have that little question about when the farm has a lake and there are lots and lots of birds there, and the issue has sites for them to nest, you know, what is the I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
The farm is willing to work with us and do their part. I mean, this isn't only Lynette doing what she does.
Yeah, this
has to be a community effort with everybody.
Yeah.
Not feeding the kids, harassing
Anything them from, like, right, from the east to
the west. They don't like to eat. There's all kinds of things that we're going to have to do with the community, along with what the net will do.
Steve has a question.
Yeah, am I understanding that you're saying you have 80% success, you consider that a good thing? Getting rid of the cow. My question is this. If we're able to get rid of 80% of the geese this year, what happens when the next flock flies over and sees that there's 80% missing and it's a whole new... This sounds to me like this is going to be an ongoing process for many, many years.
It is. It can be,
It can be.
The success comes in not having... You know, when you first start, if this was, like, the perfect plan, we had all the money in the world to work this, what we would do is we would start... In the winter, in February, we'd double up our time like we scheduled because that's the hot time. That's when there's much more pressure from the geese to be in that location. That's why when you see, look at the proposal, we've got it twice a day, 7 days a week, or minimum of 5 days a week if we can cut it back to that much. And we're pushing hard for 2 months to convince them that this is not a good place to raise their family. Once that period of time is over with, then you've got the period where hopefully they didn't have any babies because we've addled the eggs. We found that. Then you've got the molting period. You've got a time where you can cut back to, say, 3 to 5 days a week. And you've got the molting period where you can kind of have to back off a little bit. And then you push hard again September, October, November when the flocks are in migration and your resident flock is hanging out more and the seasons change and the winter food sources are changed and things like that. Then in the winter, you drop back down a little bit more, say to 3 times a week, just to remind them that if they do show up, hey, you need to take off. So then the following year, you start that up again, and you hit them again hard in the spring, and that does a little bit better that year, and then you don't have to, and then slowly what happens is that you're not there for the whole summer. You're not there, you're not spending 5 days a week there. You're only going on a maintenance schedule of maybe 3 days a week or 2 days a week, and so it slowly backs off during that time. But like, if there's a flock that comes in, like the one I was telling you about earlier, then we've got to hit that flock hard for 3 or 4 days right now to hit them hard to get them to think this is a good place to hang out for the winter, and then they take off. But then another group might come in 2 or 3 weeks, and then you have to hit them hard for a little while, and then it backs off again. And it is a revolving door. I mean, it's because of wildlife.
One other question, what are your thoughts on cycles? I've been at the lake for 20 years now. Not every year it's bad. You know, we've had many years where we've had very few geese. The last couple of years, granted, have been very bad. But I wondered, is this some kind of a cycle that it follows?
It really depends on weather patterns, because like a day like today, I don't know if you guys got some snow squalls and things, but we did here. And if the temperature is down 30 degrees or less, they're not going to move. But if it's warmer and there's not as many storms, they're going to move more. So they may be flying around the state, or they may be coming in from out of state, but they're on the move more.
But as soon as it gets really cold, they hunker down and they're going to stay put because they burn less calories stay afoot than they do trying to fly. So it really depends on the weather. A few years ago, we had that big storm in, like, March where everything froze and we had all the ice and stuff in the river. We hardly had any babies that year because all the babies died because they froze. All the eggs froze.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Does anybody have
it? I have a question.
Go ahead.
I just want to circle back to something what Angela said. You know, right now you're proposing, like, just for example, and correct me if I'm wrong, that in March you would come twice a day to First Beach for, like, 5 days out of the week. So that's 10 visits, right? So
depending on what we see at the time.
So I think what Andrew is trying to say is, can we spread that out between First, Second, and Third Beach? In other words, so take those 10 visits and maybe just do one at First Beach, one at Second Beach, one at Third Beach, 3 visits in one day, or you know what I'm saying, 3 things. How effective would that be? Would that be a waste of time and money? Do we really need to do that twice a day thing? So give us your thoughts on that.
The twice a day needs to be done when they're there. We might find that they're not there all day long, or that they're there a lot. So it's built in so that we have the ability to put more pressure on them. I mean, some places, I mean, when we're trained and we take our national certification, in the books that they give us, they're telling us that we should be out there 6 times a day. But we're finding that if we can hit them twice a day and alternate the times of the day, they think we're there 6 times a day. Because we're moving it around, we're changing it. We come in from a different angle. We use different dogs. We hit them, you know, at 6 o'clock one morning, and then the next day we're hitting them at noontime, or we're hitting them, you know, it just really just depends, later at night. Maybe we go out at night and we use the laser. Get them all just at dark, just to hit, you know, it all just depends. We want them to think we're omnipresent. We want them to think that this is not a good place to hang out.
So
I mean, that's our goal.
Who determines when you're
not there, then I'm not coming.
Who determines when you come? How do you know that they're not there?
Hey, they're not here. I think I'll take a day off. Or you may call me and say, can you please come back because there's 200 of them here tonight.
So we have to call you every time we want you to come out. There has to be someone calling you to say, they're here, come.
Sometimes that helps. Like, I always want to know, like, I don't want to come out and say, well, gee, I came at 9 o'clock, but they were there at 6, and we left at 8 o'clock. You know, that's a waste of your money, a waste of my time. So we try to do the best we can in figuring out when they're going to be there. You know, they do have a pattern, but once we hit them, it adjusts their pattern. And they keep adjusting their pattern, and we keep adjusting their pattern to make them believe we're always there.
So when you say you come out, what sort of time difference? So you come out at 7 a.m., let's say. Are you there for an hour? Are you there for 2 hours? Are you there so they fly away at that particular time?
We try to be there as long as it takes to take care of them. So in the beginning, we could be there for 2 or 3 hours. Later on, it might only take 5 minutes because they see it, they know the vehicle, they see it coming, they take off. So it really just depends on that.
So you stay until they fly away?
We try to, yes.
Okay.
Or at least out of our territory. Like that one pond I was telling you about where we can only do half of it. We stay until we can push them across that line and get them over to the other side. They may not fly off.
And it's harder to get them to fly once they have a nest and eggs. It's really hard because they're pushing back on us as hard as we're pushing on them. I mean, we've been attacked by the males protecting the nest and flying at us and trying to chase us and things like that. They don't want to leave. That's why we push as hard as we can in the very beginning of the breeding season, and then it's not as bad later on.
Well, how busy are you and your team? What does your team consist of? And, you know, how would we be assured that you'd be able to adhere to the schedule that you set?
My son is also works for me. So we have two separate groups of dogs, two separate vehicles. Sometimes we come out together. Sometimes we split up. It really just depends on the situation. If it takes two of us to be out there, then the two of us are out there. If only one can go out, then that's how we do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I just pulled up. I found that pilot program proposal. Even if you did the pilot program, we would then have to hire you to come out again for what, about 3 more months? Yes?
It depends on what you want to do. It depends on your budget.
For one beach, can I times this by 3 if we wanted to do it for each beach? Is that the math, or by 2? Or I'm just trying to get in my head what kind of money we're talking about, because I hate to even start this unless we all realize we're talking about a $30,000 commitment every year. I don't know what we're talking about here. And I don't understand completely.
When we were trying to stay under the $5,000, that's when we asked Lynette to give us some kind of proposal to see what we could get and what could be done and what time frame. If she's willing to spread it out for a further area, doesn't have to be restricted to first beach.
No, I guess my question is, is it then just a waste of money if we don't keep it going all summer?
Well, then we would hope to get approval from the association to continue. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out a way to get it started.
Well, Ellen, I'm just trying to figure out the money in my head. I need to start,
It's a lot of money. And it is a
commitment. An annual commitment, at least a 3-year commitment, and when we've got other stuff going on. Yeah, and I think it's important. I'm just trying to get the value financially to go after this. Does anybody have any other questions for Lynette?
No.
No. Thank you, Lynette. We'll get back to you ASAP. Thank you for joining us and giving us your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. No problem. But we're not still, you know, you don't have to get back to me right away because I know we don't have to get anything done until February. So we've got a little bit of time.
One
more question. Do you have to, when you do the eggs, do you have to register that with the state?
We have to get a federal permit.
Okay. And you do that?
Or we have to do that?
We take care of that.
You take care of it? Okay.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another thing to talk about. No, I know.
So, are there a lot of people out there that do this kind of stuff besides Not My Farm? I tried 2 other companies. Oh, sorry. I'm back, but I can't seem to figure out how to shut this off.
Oh, that's okay.
Sarah, anyone else? Have I through that?
I can get rid of you.
There were a couple other companies we called. One is down Niantic Way.
Mm-hmm.
snatched or something. She thought this was too far to come. The other one that we did was Critter Cuff. They come, they take them away, they euthanize them. That didn't go over well. So, we thought that was our best option. Now we have all been dog is amazing. And the dog is not on the water. The dog sits on the boat.
Critter would probably be the most successful.
Yeah, that's what John just said.
Yeah.
But we just keep going back to the other day's dad. I get a lot of pushback. They call me, they go to the newspapers, they call PETA.
Yeah. No, that would never fly around here.
Yeah. But it is much more. You get more.
We should have a game for her.
Huh?
Have a big game dinner. I think Corinne makes a good statement. I think if we're going to present this to the association, I think it's going to mean, hey, we need to make a 3-year commitment. This is what it's going to cost, possibly.
Big money.
If we're going to do that. I mean, I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm just saying I think she's right in saying, you know, I do kind of feel like first beach, second and third beach, you're going to go, hey, let's send them all down the
yeah.
Right, and that's what I was trying to ask, and maybe I wasn't articulate, because I don't want to throw away money, but the most important part is those first few weeks and those paddlings. I guess I was trying to get at, like, if we did that for all of the beaches, right, and then she mentioned, like, teaching us some strategies of things that we could do. Again, I don't want to throw money away if that's stupid idea, because obviously I have no idea what I'm talking about, but if that would even make a definite, and then, you know, you would have two-thirds association, that feeling like we're pushing the problem down the lake, that might also, you know, give us more interest and more support from the entire association. But I'm not sure that I articulated what I was trying to say clearly.
No, I think you did.
I think you did.
No, you did. And Kathy did, too.
So I tried to circle back around to that for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gary. Gary has a question.
I'll spend to get them addled this year as much as we can, get their nest disturbed. I think, I mean, if that was the least thing we could do.
Gary wants to say something.
No, okay. Three, 4 years ago, we had somebody addle the eggs from the association.
Yep.
And he found it all up in the north end, and it was all by boat. And it did put a dent in it for a few years.
It did.
And now it's back because nobody's been doing it. But, That seemed to help out, that's for sure.
Can I say just something about what is considered to be the pilot program for First Beach? I think that the mythology behind it, correct me if I'm wrong, Evelyn, was that we wanted to do it at First Beach so we could bring it to the association and say, see, it does work. Not to push them down to second or third, and that may happen, but we wanted to have some kind of proof is in the pudding type of a thing to bring to the association.
Exactly. It was just
our
proposal, a way for us to get started.
Yeah.
Do it possible.
I don't disagree. I'm just thinking, again, you know, it's one thing if you have two beaches, but when you have three and it's only at one, like, again, if we're trying to get buy-in for the whole group, I just didn't know if there was another way. It's like kind of...
This proposal can be adjusted. We were just trying to see what we could get for that money. People have told me they know where the nests are at Second Beach. So, you know, that's why if we know where they are, that helps.
Yeah, we know where they are. Right now, we have some people go and their eggs. I mean, the biggest problem is meaning where the nests are. And once the nests are known, then you can do the egg.
I'm not even that problem.
Okay, what is the
problem?
Why don't we have an egg yellowing contest?
There you go.
As one of our social
friends, we can put them on a spoon and have a race down the beach and see.
I'm I'm having network connection issues. Anybody else?
Yeah, a little bit.
No?
Yes.
Yeah. On and off. On and off sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, you can't go down. So what are we doing? Do we need to decide on this? I mean, it seems like everybody's only...
Yeah, I think we can vote on something, yeah.
Yeah, not far away.
I think we should make a decision.
Do we need to vote? I mean, he gave us the proposal. We all have that, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's frozen.
Yeah, everyone's
frozen. Can you talk, Evelyn?
You guys are... Yeah. The internet's been cutting out all day. I don't know if you guys want to make a decision tonight, if you want to think about it and vote. I mean, she said tonight...
Well, the problem is...
February.
The problem is we don't have another board meeting until mid-February.
Right. Has anyone talked to the folks at the farm in terms of what they plan to do? Because if they're going to be the
biggest... That's talking. You don't want to know what they do.
That's what I'm going to say. Because if they... No, but if they're going to continue to ignore the issue, and that's a nice beating ground for them, they're going to be in our yard no matter what they do. So we've been giving money to Lynette and or any other person to do this, and nothing's going to change.
It takes $100. They go from our lake to the farm pond.
Yeah.
Johnny, people come in September or October, the freezing licenses. So he does that part. If he needs more from us, he will work with us.
Well, I mean, one of the issues is basically if we can have a contest, as you suggested, with the kids, if they go and there are a certain number of eggs, the one who wins,
yeah.
Can be finished. Maybe they're going to be that would be a contest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But their eyes
are
closed.
I'm
not thinking
we're
going to
click that.
We can have that. It was more of a joke.
Yeah, but
you can't just have anybody just handling the eggs. You need to get permission, and that's what she would apply for. And she kind of has to give them a general idea of how many eggs that she's going to handle. And I guess that's where we start. Giving her the opportunity to come down here and find the nest and start adding the eggs and then see how it goes from there.
I agree.
I mean, it's not a $5,000 up fee. She can bill us as she goes.
It's $100 per nest, right?
Yeah. And then the cost of the eggs.
The migratory nest.
Allocate $100 per nest.
And of course, we're assuming she's reputable, but we're just taking her word that, oh, I did this many eggs, or oh, I found this many eggs.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing is that if you play the eggs, they lay more eggs. Yeah. So that won't help either. Eventually, you have to basically save the eggs and then leave it from what I understand.
I think we need to start someplace. We can talk about it forever, but right. We need to start someplace and
agreed.
See how it works out.
But, you know, I didn't know that we could afford to spend the kind of money that Lynette has suggested on an annual basis, because that's every year that will be, and then we won't have the dam taken care of and everything else done. I don't know where the money is going to come from.
There's no way you're going to get rid of all the it's going to take quite a few years to do it.
Can we ask for a second proposal to look at two options? So look at what we have now, and then if we look at something that's really focusing on the Aveling and not as much the other strategies, but a bigger area of the lake, because if the most important thing is the Aveling and the destroying of the nets in those first few important weeks,
is that the better is that the better way to go? It's not going to solve the problem, but again, if we have two options, I don't know if that makes more sense.
She will do whatever we ask her to do. She will work with us however we want and do it.
That wasn't what she was recommending, right? She wasn't recommending rattling the eggs and calling it a day, right?
Yeah.
So that's a waste of money then. If the professional doesn't recommend that, then I think that's more of a waste of money than anything else.
But I feel like it's just gonna put them to make a nest at a different part of the lake, and it's not going to.
I agree.
I think the addling of the eggs works in that they don't make another nest in another part of the lake. I think that's how she explained it. She deceives them into thinking that their eggs are still there.
I'm just talking about
addling of the eggs.
I am the membership.
They have no eggs that year.
But they keep coming back, yeah.
And they have no.
So guys, just based on the way this proposal is written, she needs to write us a new proposal for a couple reasons. One of them, I don't know how we could vote on this tonight. I don't know where the money's going to come from either. But you know, in her proposal, and we need these proposals to be written exactly the way, for the work we expect to be done. She's talking about dealing with nests for six pairs of geese. Well, we have a lot more. So she's only allocating so much of that money to dealing with nests, and then it's very heavy with the site visits. So I don't know how we vote on this proposal. I almost feel like it needs to be rewritten. I'm not sure where the money's coming from. I just don't know. I'm sure we may have it somewhere. I don't know. But I don't know how we vote on this tonight. And I think Angela's point, there's nothing wrong with us asking her for a second type of proposal. We're just addling and making energy. Something started. That doesn't mean we don't agree to all these site visits, but at least we could get something going, if that makes sense. And I don't know where the $2,000 come from right now. I don't know if we know the answer, and I don't know who knows the answer to that.
Why can't we vote on having her come and addle the eggs for $100 per nest? I think that's a very basic thing. Without any site visits.
Can I just ask unofficially, just from us board members, who wants to go forward with some form of geese mitigation? Raise your hand, please. Because if we don't have a majority here, then we don't need to discuss this.
Well, some form, yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. I can't see Angela. Just say yes or no.
Yep.
Okay, that's true. It's her email address.
Angela?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
Six yeses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's fine. So we have more than a quorum. I just wanted to make sure that we're not beating a dead horse because nobody wants to do anything. So fine. So we can continue with perhaps asking her for a different proposal. But I think everyone would have to understand exactly what we want in that proposal, right?
So you want a bigger area? Only the eggs. That's one. And a bigger area, not just First Beach.
Well, I mean, she wouldn't put the addling the eggs at First Beach, right? She's addling the eggs on the whole lake. The addling of the eggs is taking place on the whole lake.
The original proposal was First Beach area.
Just for addling? I thought it was going to be $100 a nest on the whole lake.
Yeah.
Thought that's what it
said. Well, I think we were hoping that we could have other people help find the nest.
Well, and that was my other question. She mentioned, I don't use the word training or educating, but I would love for her to offer, like, a few times that there were people that were interested to, like, work with her and learn what to do and what not to do. And, again, there are certain things that legally we can't do. It has to be her job. But I think that that's an important that that's an important piece, and she mentioned it, and I don't know if that needs to explicitly be in the proposal, but I think without people knowing what to do and why it's important and what not to do, I think that that's important with the type of investment we're looking at making.
The original letter that she gave me is all the stuff that we should do.
She mentioned having someone, having us with like her, so that she could show people how to do things, and I think that that's important.
So ask the proposal to include some sort of training.
Okay.
Now, am I correct? You need this $5,000 limit, and I can't recall off the top of my head. If it's less than $5,000, you don't have to go to the association?
Correct. Correct.
No, the $5,000 is the competitive bidding rule. That's what. If you're over $5,000, if you have a contract for over $5,000, you should. The rules say you go to competitive bidding unless the board waives the competitive bidding requirement. Okay, so the board still has the ability to hire somebody for more than $5,000, but the board has to justify why they're meeting the competitive bidding requirement. That's all the $5,000.
What is this? What's this under $5,000? I thought there was a special appropriations rule for under $5,000.
Well, the board still has control. All we would have to do, because this is not in the current year's operating budget. So what we would do, Lee and I would basically go through the budget and see where we could find, assume the number is 5,000, whatever you decide. We would say we would reallocate $5,000 for Gates mitigation, and we would take it out of this, and this budget line item. That's what, and we would come back to you and say we found 5,000. Here's where we think we can reduce the budgets, or the budgets are not going to be utilized for the balance of the year. And the board would have the ability to allocate the budget.
So we've spent about an hour and a half or so on the geese. Are we pretty clear that Evelyn will sort of inform us as to another type of proposal?
So you've got, Victor, Ella, Adeline, trained Adel. But I have to ask you, she has to get approval.
Right.
For Adeline eggs. I don't know if not just anybody can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that she said that she was going to sing to Adel. I think that she said something. Maybe I misheard her because I do have like three kids and two dogs and a husband in the background, but I think she said something about like taking people with her, and so maybe it wasn't the eggs, like maybe it was some of the other strategies. But again, I think if we're making this big of a time commitment, us being educated as a board and then educating other members of the community on some of those disrupting strategies and scaring them away and what to do and what not to do, if there's a certain like behavior that a goose starts to exhibit, then it's probably going to be losing battles, so it'll walk away before you get chased or bit. Like, I don't know. I swear she mentioned it.
Yeah, she talked about training people, yeah.
And take the eggs away and put they don't rattle them, but take them away and put wooden eggs there.
Yeah, and that's, we can't assume that they're federally protected, but all of the other strategies that she talked about and shaking things up and changing the strategy, that those are things that she could walk us through so that we understand as a board and then even getting some of the membership on board.
Right, but the concern is
when the community has to come in and assist with this, with what she's doing, the residents have to participate. You're out in your kayaks in the summer, scare them. People that are feeding them, talk to them once. I would thought we should do it in writing, like in an email blast. If we tell you the first time to stop feeding them, that's a verbal warning. Next time we catch you feeding them, you're going to get a fine. These are the kinds of things that we... whether we enforce it or not. I was told that
my mother was paying the bill for not my farm.
Fine to be your pain in the middle to my bar.
There's fencing, there's planting, the area in front of the pavilion, the grass, get rid of it. There's all kinds of stuff that we're going to have to do as a community in addition to what we want her to do.
So that being said, I wonder if we should just skip this year and bring it up to the membership.
I'd rather move forward.
I would get a proposal from her.
I don't think we need a proposal.
Get a proposal from her just so we could get going if we want to get going this year. Just for the alley and stuff so she could start with getting whatever permit or whatever she needs. I don't think it's a big process to get that permission. And at least we will have gotten that started and we will have done something this year. And then in the meantime, she can also get us a proposal for the site visit. But everyone kind of agrees, and it sounds like that maybe at least we could pay, I don't know, whatever that price would be, that we could get some nests disturbed and some pig battles this year.
Right.
I don't know that it would be a total waste of money.
At
least we could get her going, and that's the one thing she's got to get a permit for, or at least to register to do. And then maybe then that will start at the beginning of March.
So
is that a strategy?
I think that we need to make that decision tonight, Corinne, not wait for a proposal, because she already gave us a proposal that says the addling would be $100 per nest. Now, we can put a cap on that if you want, like, okay, 10 nests, $1,000, we don't want to go over that, or whatever. We can make that kind of a decision tonight. But I think if we don't make the decision tonight, I think we're not giving her enough time. I would be worried we're not giving her enough time to get her permits in place and everything that she needs to do to addle those eggs at the end of February, maybe start of the first week in March. That's what I think.
And would she get a piece of contract just to do that? That I wasn't clear on. I don't know.
Kathy, why don't you put that in the form of a motion? Let's vote on this. This is going on way too long.
All right. I would like to make a motion that we approve to hire Nutmeg Farm Goose Management to addle the eggs around the whole of Lake Hayward, not just one area, at $100 per nest, capping it at 10 nests to equal $1,000.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Kathy votes aye. Evelyn votes aye. No.
Emma votes aye.
Emma votes aye. Dave, is that a yes?
Yes.
Gary?
Yeah.
Cindy?
No.
Jason?
So we're capping it at $1,000?
Yep.
That's going to
be enough. We'll give it a shot.
Yeah. I'll start somewhere.
I don't think that's enough. See what she said. I'm going to vote no.
I just want more information from her.
Okay.
Kathy, did everyone vote?
Wait a minute. Gary, you voted yes. Angela, what did you vote?
So I think that you should be a little bit more money, but if that's what's on the table, either vote yes or no. So I guess I'm voting yes.
Okay. So that...
if you get 10 nests, and there are 6 eggs on each nest, we're talking a 60 nest dog bird on that. So it's a good project.
I'm not sure what you're saying, Hema. It's $100 a net. That was a good quote. $100 a net. Doesn't matter how many eggs are in the net.
Right. What I'm saying is that if we just take 10 minutes and there are 5 eggs in the net, I mean, 50 allowed birds to come back the following year. So that's the word for alternative.
Okay, well, this is what I have for the vote. Cindy, no. Angela, yes. Hema, yes. Dave, yes. Jason, no. Corinne, no. Evelyn, yes. Gary, yes. And myself, yes. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yeses and 3 noes. So the motion carries.
So the motion carries.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that will just get us started, and we can, yeah.
So moving on, everybody did send me the committee reports. I'm assuming everybody read them. Does anybody have any questions on anyone else's committee report? Thank you all for doing that, by the way.
Gary, can you just look at that real quick?
He doesn't have
to. The tree, third big car block, a branch broke off, and our neighbor there, kind of, their car got hit by the branch.
Oh, no.
And damaged the car. So I got the tree cut down because it was starting to rot away. That was like $6,000 to get that stump ground up. One of the bigger windstorms, we had that the big sign. It got torn off, busted up into about 7 pieces laying on the road. I found it on the road. So I'm working with a new sign, and then we're going to reinforce it so it's a little better this time. It's like $430 for the sign. And that was basically the whole report.
Any questions on Gary's report?
No, thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Does someone have a TV with going in the background? Because I keep getting lots of interference. It sounds like there's a TV or something in the back.
I think it might be Hema.
Can you go downstairs? Maybe it's Don talking on the phone.
Maybe.
Can you go somewhere? He's coming over here.
Oh, my God, Cindy.
So the other thing I wanted to bring up just briefly is the spring cafe. We should be talking about that, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if I can really quick, I did make a, I don't know if you can see it, a little thing for the postcard. I wanted to make sure, and I'll just read it to you.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make the postcard up that we mail out. I just headed it with Property Owners Association of Lake Hayward, and underneath it says, please note the annual PLA spring packet will no longer be mailed to every member. It will be available on the www.lakehaywardcc.com website in mid-April. I put mid-April because I didn't have a date. I don't know if you want to put a date or just say mid-April. It goes up. Does that sound good? And I'll go ahead and have that printed and mailed out.
Can you just email all of us a copy of that just so we can make sure?
Sure.
Jason? Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah.
And so as far as the screen packet goes, whether it's electronic or not, who do we need? Something from. I haven't done a spring packet in 100 years. So we need all the committee people, right?
Yeah,
we need calendar, Angela.
Tax collector, a calendar, events, properties, anyone else who just wants to write something. Safety, public safety. Bonnie would, and usually we need to come up with a date. We're going to mail it and give a deadline and make it like 2 weeks before the deadline. So it gives the, well, if we're not printing it, it just needs Mike to just throw it up on the website. So it's just up to getting them to come and produce something.
Okay, so everybody should
send out this year? We're not sending it out this year?
No.
We had voted at one of the last meetings, the meeting before, just to do it electronic.
Yeah.
I know we voted to do it this year. I thought we were going to wait a year and do whatever we wanted to do. But...
No, that's why we were going to mail out the card to let everyone know.
The only thing I was going to say was we voted to do that, but we also are going to print some up for people who don't have access to the internet or whatever. So, you know, we need to make some up for people who don't have access.
Yeah, we can do that.
All right.
Evelyn, did you have a question? Evelyn?
Yeah, the card is going to go out when? The postcard?
I can do it whenever, as long as everyone agrees it could go out next week or what, you know, it won't take long to print it. It's just more along the lines of saying what date do we want to say it will be on the web?
That's what I wanted to know. Okay. What date will it be up?
Usually, I think we had it up on the web. We sent out the spring packet around April 1st, I think.
Hey, Cindy? And I cried. Carrie Emmer helped last year, even though she was on board. If you help put it together, if you're looking for somebody to help you, it's up to you. But I know she was.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think Mark likes doing it.
What are we going to have to put together if it's electronic? Just a format?
Basically, just getting the lyrics put together. Just the format.
While we're on that subject, Jason, the pavilion reservation form said that they have to supply a copy of their homeowners, and we, as a board, decided they just have to declare that they have homeowners. So we need to take that off the pavilion reservation form.
I'll let Lee know to do that. He does that.
Thank you. And then hopefully we'll have more information on the swimming lessons that should go in that packet, too. I'll give her a timeline.
Thank you. Cindy?
Yes, Emma.
I just want to let you know, I had a telephone call today from Brian Smith, the representative for the Colchester area in the House of Legislature. And he was amenable to at least talking with non-legal our senator, and also Irene Haynes with regard to what kind of assistance we might be able to get from the state. In terms of the dam.
As far as the dam
issues. He said that these are up to us.
Can you just send that out in an email, Emma? I will.
And I just think that if there are people who know Irene Haynes personally and Norm Needleman, the more people talking to them would be helpful. Whether they're from the East Shore, from the Lake Hayward properties, or the rest of the community, to make this work out for us. Because for most of the state representatives and state senators, one person calling is just six of them. So it's like six people calling them would be their problem. So I kind of told him about the economic impact we have on Colchester area in the event something happened to the lake and the lake was not functional. So he understands some of that, but I just want to give you an update on that. I have previously spoken to Irene. I don't know Norm Needleman at all. And also they all know that I don't vote for anyone there because I'm not in the area as a voter.
Yeah.
That should probably be
written up in the spring packet so that people could contact their senators and stuff.
Sure. I will certainly do that. I will send something to Jason.
Thank you. So is there any more questions, Dave?
Yeah, Cindy, I heard the presentation that those gentlemen gave from the north end of the lake. Are we going to discuss it at the board? Or, I don't know, what are our plans?
Well, that's all new to me, as it is to you. So, I didn't quite understand the whole thing. How about if I talk to him and try to get more specific? Like, I heard him say that all of those lots were had late use. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
That's incorrect. They have access to the lake.
I know.
But not lakefront.
So let me.
And most importantly, they're not within the statutory limits of our association. Our association has boundaries.
Obviously, he was trying to say, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, and I have all kinds of things that I can do to help you. And obviously, to me, he was saying, in exchange for lake rights. So let me talk to him again and just make it clear that that's not going to happen.
I think the most important thing to point out to him, because it sounds like he's unaware, is that our association is a taxing district set up by the state that... As a board, we can't say, oh, yeah, you can be part of the association. It's a much larger thing than just the board members voting someone else's property association. You would have to get approved by the entire member.
I would ask him to clarify the questions in writing, and then we talk to our attorney. I mean, I know what I heard from him, and it helped. I don't know how many conversations I'd have with him, or put yourself in a position where, God forbid, you say something that they later think them to believe A, B, or C. If they really have questions for us, have them send them to you in writing, and we'll deal with them from there. But it's a zoning issue, and they're not part of our association, and I don't know. I know what I heard him say. He wanted to give us wine in exchange for something, and I almost wanted to
jump
off.
Yeah. I just have a question for Ed. Ed, to your knowledge, has that property ever been inside the confines of our association board, or are they just full of baloney?
No. Tax collectors, before I became tax collector, somehow the two pieces of property that the Gregan brothers owned, or their father owned, or their family owned, were included in the grand list. Now, how they got there is beyond me. I mean, they're clearly outside of the legal boundary. The larger property, which is over on East Shore, off of East Shore Drive, remember we talked about this at our meeting, I removed that property 5 or 6 years ago when I became tax collector because it was clearly not within the boundaries of the association. The second smaller property was, there was some gray area, but when I consulted with the attorney basically said, go back to Loretta Zedanis, the assessor, get her to determine whether or not it's within the association boundary. So she's the assessor. She's the town official that makes those determinations. I don't make those determinations. She does. She confirmed that the smaller piece of property, the 5.7 or 5.3 acres, was clearly outside of the association boundary. And that's when I wrote the letter to Regan and sent him back 3 years' worth of taxes, which is what I was required to do by law.
Right.
$15. I talked to Jim Ventress. I sent you all an email. That basically, there are significant issues with respect to the development of that property. Either one of them. Both of them.
That's not our issue.
But I'm just telling you that until my recommendation is that until they file something with the town, we shouldn't even be bothered getting involved in it.
We're not getting involved. We're just being neighborly and listening to what he had to say.
That's all.
I think our attorney already has to talk to him. We listen to him tonight. We can listen to him, but I don't think we need to go talk to him without our attorney.
I think
we should just contact the attorney and say, hey, send them a letter saying if they have any questions or proposals to reach out to the attorneys, and also inform them that, you know, it's not up to us to vote them in association and it's, you know, a larger issue than the taxing district.
Even though it's for 45 years or whatever, he knows what he's doing, and he knows how every place, I'm sure, he puts up development, people don't want him. Nobody wants development. But he knows how to work it, so we got to be real careful with him. We don't want to call him.
He's done all inner-city stuff. So this is a little different for him, but yeah. Okay, so that's what I'll do.
Can you hear me? Ed, can you comment on the bigger parcel? The bigger parcel, has that been part of the association property?
No.
Can we what?
Has the bigger parcel that he's talking about, which he said is about a 50 acres in all, has that been a part of the association property in the past?
No.
So, is he then asking to make it a part of the association properties and become taxable? And is it even something that we do, or is it something that the state has to do?
He's going to have to go to the general assembly to get the boundaries of the association changed.
Okay. Has the attorney, our attorney at least informed him that parcel is not part of the boundaries of the association?
We've informed him that, but, you know, I think this is more just a nice kind of thing, so let's not get all
attorney is not part of the association properties at this moment. Then he cannot go to anyone that he's developing and selling the properties to and say, you are part of the association. They have been warned by the association attorney that they are not a part of the association. That should be a preemptive
warning. Right, well, that's what we're going to have our attorney do.
Okay. So, I think he needs to do that.
Okay.
Very good.
So we get off the subject. Spring packet, we're cool, we're done, that's good, everybody's good with it?
Do we have a date that we have to have it out by?
You want to pick a date?
You can bring up February.
You see, like, the middle of March, we had to get it in, right?
And I think by April 1st, that was usually when we produced it.
Okay,
right around there.
Mm-hmm. So, we can send it to you, Jason, by the end of March. Will you all set?
No.
It used to be March 15th, but usually around March 15th, you had to have everything in.
Cindy,
we have a meeting.
So, by March?
We have a board meeting on the 24th of March. So at that point, we should say go or no go to send it out. We should be all together by then.
Yeah, let's just say to have your reports in to Jason by March 15th, okay?
Okay.
And Cindy, I can look and see if I have paperwork from last year.
Hold on, Jason. What, Kathy?
I can look and see if I have any paperwork from coordinating last year's spring packet that might have been handed out to us. So it could be like a guideline if that you're interested in that. I don't know. I'll look for it, though.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to ask Carrie Eschart. What, Jason?
Look at the last year's spring packet on the website, and you'll get some ideas of what sort of things should be in there.
Right.
Okay.
Cindy, let me know if you
okay. Okay. Okay, well, thank you. So, I hate to do this now at 8:45, but we need to talk about the property encroachment dispute on Lakeshore and decide what we're going to do. I asked Kathy to kind of recap because now it's been a couple months and some of us may have forgotten some stuff. So do you mind, Kathy, just recapping that whole thing?
I mean, I'll try. I know that a letter was sent. You know, they did the surveying of the properties, and Gary, jump in here if I'm wrong, you know, with anything. And obviously we found out that Mr. Byron's property isn't his property, it's really our property. He says it's his, we say it's ours. So we sent him a letter back in February of 2020 asking him to move a lot of his things on his property. That have to do with encroaching on the right-of-way that the survey showed to be ours, and from that to park his car on the lakefront property, because that is our property as well. He says, no, it's his property, and he can prove it, but he has never once gotten a survey, refuses to get a survey, which is a big crux of the matter here. If he would just get a survey, I think everything would... could go smoother and we could have a more amicable conversation with him. We talked to our attorney, although I can't really talk about that because we talked about it in executive session, and you all know what, the kind of questions we asked him and what was true and what was not true. You have Mr. Wright, who is Mr. Byron's neighbor, who is saying that once we start moving this property, it's all going to move accordingly down the line, which is going to shift everybody's property. I think our attorney kind of said that no, that wasn't the case. So that's kind of, I think, where we are. I mean, he needs to get a survey, I think, is the problem. Gary?
Does everybody on the board really know where this property is? Have they looked at it?
Yes, I have.
Well, I know some of the board members certainly do. Now, I remarked it on the street because they took out the wooden stakes, but I had marked it out on the street where the stakes were. Go by there. There's orange. I painted it orange out in the road. I'll be glad to go up there. I was going to go with you, Evelyn, sometime. Maybe we should go up there. You asked to go up there.
I did already.
And I'll show you exactly where it is, you know, what we're talking about. I don't think a lot of people really know what we're talking about.
I've walked it. I've walked the right of way, and I've walked the property. So, I know what it is.
Jason?
I think I'd like to, again, I kind of always flip it with things so we can at least drop one of them. I think, and I may be fun that we came to the sort of agreement after we talked with the attorney and whatnot, that we agreed the right of way is really an issue we have to deal with. Can you, like, set that one aside and talk about just the property on the side of the lake? Because the property owner isn't encumbering access for anyone. They're welcoming anyone to go up and down. That fencing that there isn't really encumbered that much, but we, you know, we shouldn't go all over the thing. But as it is, they're not blocking the right of way. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, I think you are right in saying that. That is correct. And I think we can ask him.
The only trouble with that, if we let that right away go, let's say that other property owner on the other side who hasn't said nothing, it hasn't affected him, he planted a bunch of trees on where his property ends, our right away would be, everybody would have to walk all over the other side.
But now that we've already, it's not being paid attention to the last. Now that we're on it, if someone starts doing something new, we can jump right on it.
Right.
Well, yeah, the right thing is to take the fence down. It's just that we don't have to tell them to take it right down right now.
Correct.
Evelyn?
So I went to the town. Yeah, I went to the town. I pulled the map for the property, for Byron's property.
was really hard to tell where the lines were, so Gary went and put the orange line out for me, put another stake out there for me, and I was wrong. He is on association property. So, I mean, I think something needs to be done.
The whole
association property is a mess. Can we maybe clean that up and make it like some kind of compromise? Because he is going to have to move over. And Rob Rice got stuff that's actually on trees and on Byron's property, so he's going to have to move.
Well, that's not necessarily true. We don't know that. We don't know that. We won't know any of that until Rob Wright gets his survey and Byron gets his survey, but that can't be our concern.
When he first surveyed, they're wrong. Bob knows he's wrong, which is why he won't get a survey.
Yeah, they know they're wrong.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought...
Bonnie.
I mean, I think the bottom line is, as a board, we don't have the authority to say you could go ahead and use the property, we don't care. I mean, I think we just have to move forward like we have before with the attorney writing him a letter, and we go from there. I mean, in the end, they have to clean it up. They're going to go try to sell their properties one day, and they're not going to be... We're not the bad guys there. They're being the bad guys, I think. I agree, but you have a better be on that, and... I thought that we were beyond that, and we were at the point where we either had to sue or not sue. Am I wrong in assuming that? Did I make that up?
You're right.
Correct.
Cindy, you're right. That was the case. We have to decide, hey, block off the spot. You can't use it anymore. And put a fence around it or something. It's ours now. And you need to go get a survey or whatever if you think it's something different. That's what it came to. And it's up to...
I have heard from Mr. Byron when he went there. Cindy, when I went, I went and walked the property with Mr. Byron and Mr. Wright.
Right.
And they showed me iron stakes that are on the ground and then the wooden stakes that were put in the ground after our survey. Which clearly there were discrepancies. So... I don't know what the deed says. I have not seen, and I wouldn't be able to even understand what the deed says. But the town has property lines marked out according to the original Lake Haven in 1954 when it was founded. And if those property lines have been changed because of sales or whatever, someone has to have that information.
Our survey was taken by the town and filed to the town. So it's called as saving $20. So that survey is registered with the town.
Okay. I mean, has it been carefully reviewed in terms of what the property lines were in the 54 deeds that were presented to the town at the time of the charter? Or is it just that people say, because I know, I never went and asked for the stakes when I bought the property on Living Place. But we know approximately where they are, and there have been no disputes. However, we know also that the right-of-way on Living Place has not been cared for by the association in many, many years. And there are people on the area that are saying we should get that cleaned up. And last year I spoke to Gary, and Gary said we are coming with the survey from the north end all the way down. And of course, by that time the year goes down and the summer is over. So
can we stick with Byron's property? Can we stick with Byron's property?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, Evan, I love you dearly, but can we stick to this to the subject on hand, please? I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is that if the properties are being, if the lake property, the association properties are being cared for by us, then that will give us the ability to say to people who are encroaching, this is not yours, this is our property.
Well, it still comes down to property lines. When we talk to... Go ahead, Gary.
Well, we provided proof of where our property line is. They need to come back, if they want to fight, they need to come back with some proof that we're wrong. And they refuse to do that. So, they're out of luck, as far as I know.
So, eventually,
they will have to get surveyed. They'll be forced to.
Right.
And Mr. Wright, last I talked to him, he's a nice guy, I talked to him, and he's been the buyer and wants to sell. So if he's going to want to sell, he's got to get this settled. He'll never sell.
He's just angry. He's not selling.
So that brings me back to kind of the conclusion when we spoke with our attorney, that it's time to poop or get off the pot. So do we want to pursue the litigation, you know, if we know our limits, our monetary limits, or do we not want to do it? Do we want to wait till August, bring it up to the membership, let them decide? You know, we need to move ahead with this for everybody's sake.
I mean, I guess my question is,
any feelings on that?
Stepping up to the membership of the board, that's our job, is to make these decisions. That's what we should be doing.
Right. So maybe we make that decision. What?
Yeah. It's our
job. We have our attorney on the
spell. If we set a precedent.
My personal feeling is that we should have the attorney send a letter to him saying, we are informing you that we are taking possession of our property and you need to remove all your personal property from it. And whatever, I'm sure there's some legal terminology there. And let him go from that point. Once he gets the letter, if we see him parking there or something, we just put up stockade fence around it. That's cheap enough, you know, so that he can't use it. And then at that point, whether he does something with Rob Wright and Rob Wright does something with the neighbor on the other side, and down, that's up to them.
Right.
We only have to worry about our property border with Mr. Byron.
Right.
And if they think that, if I doubt they're willing to spend $30,000, $40,000 of their own for 10 feet of property on a right-of-way. Or not a right-of-way, but the little
piece of property
front,
right?
Front there. It's almost like...
There's a difference between a right-of-way and a property. The right-of-way, the property may be owned by me, others have the right to use it. So, to which the property that is the right-of-way granted to the membership,
We're not talking about the right of way.
Right.
Okay. So I think if we choose to do nothing, I think it sets a precedent that is just going to get us in trouble down the road later, which I don't like saying that out loud. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of gray based on the advice we're given from our attorney. It seems to be very black and white. And I don't think necessarily either of them are great options, but I think if we don't do anything, that it's only going to turn into, we're just setting a precedent. It's going to make other problems later. So that's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to make a motion, Sam?
Well, there's other places there. Other people are encroaching on our property, so this is only the first one.
But I wanted to say that but we're separating this, right? I mean, well, that's not clear to me yet, how we're all feeling about that. Right now we're talking about the lakefront property, correct? So the right-of-way It's okay if he still has his mailbox there and whatever. Because he sent them a letter telling him to take down your mailbox, the chain link fence, and the gravel, railroad ties, and all the steps that he put in. You know, so I think we have to be clear on what we're actually deciding here. Because if, in my opinion, I would say leave the right-of-way as it is. Let him have the mailbox there, whatever, as long as it's not inhibiting people from using their right-of-way. But the lakefront property is our property, and we need to claim it back. So in my mind, it's two separate things, and I think we all need to be clear on that, if that's how we're going to decide it or not.
I agree.
Sounds good to me, Kathy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if we know... Gary just said that there are other people encroaching on our properties. If we know that, then we need to address those now before it becomes a major issue later.
We're talking about Mr. Byron right now.
This is the hardest one at a time. Because like the angel said, we set a precedent, we just let it go, and no use even approaching these other people.
I mean, certainly,
Gary, how do you feel about the
right
portion of it?
Gary? I don't know. I'm still trying to fight the right way, but I would just kind of let it go. There's plenty of room to walk there right now, unless it becomes a problem.
Right,
then,
but we can say that in the letter for you, too.
I definitely think across the street by the lake is the part we need to fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, we can also have the attorney say in the letter that we understand that, you know, this and this and this is on the right of way, but it's not inhibiting anything right now. But if it comes, you know, in the future, we may have to ask you to remove something, you know, kind of like that, right?
Yeah, something like that would be fine.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
So he doesn't go crazy, you know, doing stuff, you know, right?
Okay, so we're deciding that? I think so.
I make a motion that Mr. Byron, I make a motion that we have the attorney to Mr. Byron a letter saying that we are taking possession of the, however it needs to be worded, taking possession of our property that he is currently using on the lakefront. And that we will allow some of the encroachment he has on the right-of-way as long as...
You can't allow. You can't say that you allow the encroachment and then
by the law. For people to walk on.
The attorney will know the right wording.
Am I correct in saying this? But as far as the right-of-way property goes, as long as he is allowing access and he's not blocking access, let's not say it's okay for you to leave your stuff there because that's not a good precedent. Let's just ignore that part of it and concentrate on what's going on down the lakefront. I agree with your motion.
So somebody has to second it.
Well,
Okay. Okay.
But it's not that right that's encroaching on the property, right? I have one question. It's not Rob Wright that's encroaching on the association property.
No.
No, we have Rob Wright is really not sure who this
is. Okay. So, why does Rob Wright need a letter?
He doesn't. He doesn't.
He doesn't. Bob Byron.
No, only Byron.
He said Byron.
Really
okay, I misunderstood. Thank you.
And Biden may have to have some argument after, but that's their problem.
Frank?
Okay, so Jason, would you repeat your motion, please?
Make a motion that our attorney sends a letter to Bob Byron stating we are taking possession of his property and he should remove lakefront property and he should remove any items of his reference.
Okay.
Like I said, the attorney can word it.
Okay. Do we need a second on that?
second.
Okay.
All in favor? Raise your hand.
You know what? I'm going to call out names, Cindy, this time. I think it's easier, okay? Is that okay?
Okay.
That is.
Okay. Cindy DeAnsimano?
No.
Angela Boucher?
Yes.
Emma De Silva?
Abstain.
We got an abstaining?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Yes, it was abstaining, or are you voting yes?
Emma, are you abstaining?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Dave Edmondson?
Yes.
Jason Griffin?
Yes.
Corinne Halliday?
Yes.
Evelyn Payson?
Yes.
Gary Peterson?
Yes.
And Kathy Sable votes yes. So that's 7 yeses, 1 no, 1 abstention. The motion carries.
Thanks, Kathy.
Okay, thank you.
So at least we're moving forward a little bit with that matter.
Right, so I mean, we're not really, we don't have to do any spending money. It's a legal matter because it's up to Byron now. It's in his court. If we do this, just send the letter, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Does anybody have anything else to cover tonight? No?
I think we did enough. We talked about earlier having, I don't have anybody's phone number. Angela, I don't have your phone number. Some other people, can we put together a list just for the board of board members' phone numbers so we can contact each other, please?
Sure. I'll do that if everybody wants to give me their phone number or whatever. I can put it together for everybody. How's that?
Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Kath.
Sure.
Yeah, Angela, I need to talk to you about the calendar.
Okay, and it was funny because I was going to ask Jason to stay on for a second, but it's not too late. So
that's fine.
I just have a quick calendar question for you.
Sure.
All
right. Angela, you got a pencil?
Can we need a motion?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you my number. Go ahead. Let's take them off. Go ahead.
Are we going to adjourn first?
No, go ahead, Dave.
Okay, good.
All right, Angela.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Yeah. We need a motion for adjourn.
203-314-1096. Give me a call, please.
Okay.
Now everybody's got your phone number, Dave, because you're on the recording.
That's fine. I don't care. It's all good. I don't answer anyway.
Can we have a motion to adjourn?
Well, I don't need a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.